Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, justice, liberation, wellness, health, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. I am very grateful and very happy that we are joined by vegan author Jim Mason. And Jim Mason is the author of An Unnatural Order, Roots of Our Destruction of Nature, first published in 1993, and then a new revised edition published in 2021 by Lantern Books. And Jim is joining us from the banks of the Mississippi in Missouri. Welcome, Jim, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Well, thank you, Marlene. Glad to talk to you.
I am so thrilled about this. Oh, my gosh. Well, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I'm one of the few animal activist vegans that was raised on a farm, a good old-fashioned family farm, where we had chickens and pigs and cattle and geese and everything, and we raised them and slaughtered them ourselves. And of course, it was traumatic for me as a kid, and you know, when I was, you know, in my tender years, and I witnessed some terrible things, and I think it kind of stayed with me over the years. And then along in the 70s, when I became animal conscious, it came out, and I began to remember my roots. And I think it's been like the voices of animals have called me to be active about this oppression of animals.
Thank you, Jim. And the wisdom and the insight that you share in An Unnatural Order is very profound. And I think that you are one of the most significant thinkers and writers, not just of this century, of all of history.
Yeah, thank you. Let me tell you how I came to write that book. As many of your listeners may know, Peter Singer and I published Animal Factories in 1980. And it was really the first book to expose with vivid photographs of what factory farming looks like. And when the book came out, I had time on my hands in 1980. And I was very curious about, where did farm animals come from? How did we get domestic animals? So I started reading on the history of domestication, and I found out that animals, the familiar farm animals, cattle, sheep, goats, pigs, and so forth, were taken from the wild about 11,000 years ago in northern Mesopotamia. And little by little, we controlled them completely. We controlled every aspect of their lives. Whereas formerly they ran free for themselves in their natural habitat, now they were confined to pens and cages and corrals. And over time, we learned to manipulate their sex lives so that we could produce sheep with woollier coats and chickens that laid more eggs and pigs that had more fat and so forth. So I devoted most of my time and studying ever since the 1980s to learning everything I can about the domestication of animals. And it's very important to the human mind. And I'll explain that more fully as we keep talking.
Yes, I really like how you express in the book, In Unnatural Order, how this domestication of animals and the exploitation and the violence to the animals basically boomerangs back to humanity. So when we see the cycles of suffering and injustice throughout every century, every decade, it makes sense to me, because as a society, a global human society, we aren't addressing the root cause that you highlight.
Exactly. Let me tell you, I can explain the book very simply, in two big ideas, because the book goes in a lot of directions. It has a lot of tangents, it has a lot of channels, and it's too complex to explain all at once. But essentially, it's two big ideas. The first idea is well known, and that is that agriculture or domestication really changed the world, especially changed how humans think about the world. It was a great upheaval. Jared Diamond, the science writer, called it the greatest mistake in human history, domestication of animals. So that idea is kind of well known. The idea that's not so well known that needs to be understood, especially by animal activists, is that animals are much more important to the human mind than we realize. We just can't really grasp how important our perceptions of animals have they been over the millennia, over the millions of years of being human, how they've affected the way we see and think about the world. In fact, I put it this way, animals are like the moving parts of nature. They impressed us. They fascinated us like nothing else in the world around us. So they've been in our mind. I almost say they're hardwired into the human mind. And there are a lot of examples of this, but it's the idea that really needs to be understood. We grew up watching, hearing, seeing, feeling animals. And it really made up our thinking processes. In fact, the book that sets out this idea most is by a biologist who's now gone. It's called Thinking Animals, Animals and the Evolution of Human Intelligence. And it's quite a mouthful, but I would wish the activists would pay more attention to understanding that animals really made us think the way we think about the world.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Please go deeper into that.
Yeah. So if animals formed the mind and culture, if they're sort of hardwired into the human outlook on the natural world, then you got to wonder what happens then when we enslave them, when we take away their lives for our benefit. This has to have caused, I think, tremendous damage to the human psyche and soul. So that we basically have undermined our own sensibilities and our own sense of empathy by doing this to animals. So, of course, we vegans know that this tremendous cruelty. The animals are the ones that are hurt. But I'm trying to explain that doing that enslavement and institutionalizing slaughter and dismemberment of animals harms us in ways that we need to understand.
Thank you, Jim. Yes, I like that you highlight that about making this connection to human society beyond just being fair and just to animals, that it is a much bigger picture, as you express.
Let me give you a couple examples of the fallout of the impact of enslavement of animals. I really believe, and there's some strong evidence, that animal slavery was the model for human slavery. The tribes in the Stone Age that began to herd and confine animals were always fighting with each other over space for water holes and grazing land. So they tended to be kind of violent with each other. And some of the stories about that are mentioned in the Bible, especially in Deuteronomy, how the tribe would conquer another tribe and they would take the spoils, which would be the treasure and the livestock and the women and girls. So while they were stealing the animals from their neighbors, their rivals, they also took the women and girls and enslaved them, primarily for sex. So it was the first sex trafficking, really, was among these warring tribes that kept animals, domestic animals. So that's just one example of some of the repercussions of enslavement of our animal cousins. And I use the term animal cousins because I like to emphasize the kinship with other species. Some people use non-human animals. Some people say other animals. I like to say animal cousins because it emphasizes kinship, which is a biological reality.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jim. What can we do as vegan activists to help bring out this message of justice through animal liberation, through authentic veganism?
Well, what I see as I do social media, which is Blue Sky, is a lot of vegan activists are posting videos and photos that show what farming is really like. Because most people have a kind of a rosy sort of filtered view of what farming of animals is like. So I think we do more to expose what it's really like. to show it, especially in videos and photos, and a lot of activists are doing that. And I think that basically helps motivate people to go vegan, to change their habits, and not only their food habits, but all of their buying habits, and change the way they see the world, because we've got so much to overcome. We have millennia of brainwashing that tells us that it's okay and necessary to exploit animals. And we know that that's not true, that we can live without that. And the vegan direction, the vegan path, shows how that's possible. We can do better, we can live better.
Yes, and what I've noticed happening, especially since 2020 and even into today, 2026, I've noticed that the masses who are into the human freedom movement of saying, yes, you know, we don't want oppression and tyranny, et cetera, and they, unfortunately, 99% of them are all promoting the consumption of animals and the continued slavery of animals, or the continued oppression, yes, and violence through hunting, fishing, et cetera, all of it, the whole picture. And yet they're saying, we want freedom and we deserve freedom and we need to be free, while they continue to enslave the animals and not making that connection.
That's true. That's what I've been trying to do all along, is to show people that enslavement of animals is obviously, goes without saying, it's horrible for animals. But I'm trying to show that it's bad for us. It gives us a really sick, distorted, sadistic view of the world, where we think we're the supreme animal, the superior animal, that we're entitled to rape the earth for our own benefit. That's what we were brought up believing. And unfortunately, a lot of our progressive friends are still locked into that mindset, and it's hard to undo that. So I'm trying to show them that these kinds of oppression are linked, not just similar to each other, but actually they have the same roots. Let me give you another example. War. Everyone knows that we have a warrior culture. We worship war. We worship warriors and the glories of war and combat and killing. We're in one now. This starts millennia ago, when our ancestors were fighting over space, fighting each other over places to keep their herds of animals, to fight for water holes, to fight for grassland. So they developed a war culture, which they've passed on to us. Most of the great civilizations that we worship, the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians and the Assyrians and all of the others, were built on animal slavery and the warfare that those people carried on to build their herds and to build their wealth. This is our heritage. This is the roots of our culture. And we got to get people to understand that.
We're listening to vegan author Jim Mason, author of An Unnatural Order. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Jim Mason. Back from the break. Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. We're very fortunate to be joined by vegan author Jim Mason. And Jim is joining us from the banks of the Mississippi in Missouri. And Jim is the author of An Unnatural Order. Thanks again, Jim, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Yeah, it's good to be with you, Marlene. I love talking about this stuff. This has been like an intellectual obsession of mine since 1980. And I've devoted all of my thinking and my reading and my research to doing more to understand how animal slavery, animal oppression, has shaped the way we see the world and the way we live in the world. And it's not been good for us. Look where we're at. We're in a climate crisis. It's just begun. And it's because of our arrogant, human supremacist, human entitlement, that we think we can do anything because God, that imaginary being in the sky, made all of this and then gave it to us and gave us a license to use it. Be plentiful, multiply, replenish the earth, the God said. And we've been living off of that command, the divine command to rule over the natural world, which is also the living world, which is animals. And this has not been a good outlook, not been a good worldview.
Yes, I hear you. And what do you think it is, Jim, that this conversation about animal liberation, veganism, authentic veganism, to reach a tipping point of humans becoming vegans, what do you think it is that this conversation is censored, ignored, dismissed?
I know. Well, we don't have to look very hard to find examples of successful vegan living. And, you know, go all the way back to Buddhism and the Jains, that it was wrong to kill animals, that it was bad for our soul. And it's kind of a mystical way of looking at it. But what I'm trying to do is use anthropology and biology to show that it's not just, you know, a religious idea that exploiting animals is bad for our souls, bad for our spirits. It's been bad for humanity. It's bad for the way we think and live and look out in the world. And in fact, we're destroying the world around us because of this arrogant attitude that we have. So there's a lot to be gained for the world, for the health of the living world, if more people would choose a vegan path and quit exploiting animals, not only for food, but for materials and for power. Look at horses. We've been using horsepower right up until the past century. And horses built civilization. Horses won our wars. Horses built our temples and our roads and everything that we admire so much from horsepower. I say it's time to free the horses from slavery and to give them back their natural habitat and enjoy the sight of horses being horses instead of being slaves on racetracks and, you know, and carrying heavy loads and things. The horse should be the very first slave that gets liberated.
Yes. Coming back to the excuses that most people are using based on cultural indoctrination and everything that you're saying, how this conversation of animal liberation and the connection to the importance of animal liberation to freeing the human mind and the human spirit and really co-creating a new type of society that is based on justice and freedom and abundance. I follow a lot of vegan activists who work out on the streets. They are so great. They volunteer their time. They go out with a microphone and they put it on their video channels of trying to help the public think about animals and talk about what's happening and what we're discussing right now. And there's so much resistance, as we know. And most of the people are saying two things. One, oh, we need it for protein, the big lie that we have been
Yep,
all these years. And then two, most of them are saying, oh, well, the problem is factory farming. That's the problem. It's not animal agriculture.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, could you please talk about that more, especially like relating that with your childhood?
Well, I know vegan activists realize the need for a change in the way we're living on the planet. And a lot of environmentalists do too, even though some of them aren't vegan yet. But I think we need to emphasize that more and more of us are aware of the damage we're doing to the world. The extinction rate has just shot up. We've exterminated so many species of other creatures. And the pollution and the contamination of microplastics in the ocean and animals choking on fishing gear. It's just horrible what we're doing to the entire world. I think most people that are aware of this damage are thinking that we need to change the way we live. And in order to change the way we live on the planet, we have to change the way we see the planet. It's called a worldview. And the worldview that we've inherited, the tradition is, we're supreme, we're entitled, and all of this is necessary for our benefit. And I think what we have to do is tackle that worldview head on. We are not a superior animal because look what we're doing. If we were really as intelligent and rational as we claim to be, we wouldn't be causing all this destruction. We're fouling our nest. we're creating doom, and it's almost entirely the doing of human beings. So I think a lot of vegan activists, environmental activists, see that we've been on the wrong path. We've caused a lot of destruction, and try to get them to understand that the worldview that they have harbored all these years, they were brought up on, as I was, that has to change. You have to begin to undo that worldview and begin to see ourselves as belonging to with the rest of the life here, instead of exploiting the other beings for food and materials and everything else. We can live without doing that. We can live better.
Yes, thank you very much, Jim. This has been wonderful, wonderful, very empowering also. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
I appreciate talking to you. Thank you.
And is there any contact information or any sites that you'd like to recommend for our listeners?
I'm on Blue Sky. Just look up Jim Mason. It's at Jim Mason Blue Sky dot whatever it is. So I post on that rather frequently, as do a lot of other vegans. So they can connect with me that way and look for my latest book called Madness. It's a self-published book. And it basically condenses the ideas in a natural order, just down to simple facts of the matter, sort of mixed in with experiences on the farm as a kid and how I was traumatized by the cruelties. So that book is Madness, and it's kind of a spinoff of the one we've been talking about, An Unnatural Order. But Madness is very simplified and condensed, sort of a snapshot of what the ideas in an unnatural order.
Oh, good to know. Thank you. I look forward to reading Madness.
It's a little book. It's short, sweet, and cheap.
Thank you, Jim. And is there any other additional messages you'd like to share before we close the interview for today?
Just say hello to everybody. I'm glad to have this audience, and keep in touch. We're going to do this. We're on the right track here.
Yes. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for having me. Okay Marlene. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Ellie Sardi, Creatures Great and Small.
Just the kids in pajamas with the little lambs painted blue and white. Tuck them in with the nursery book of baby bunnies sleeping tight. Salt and pepper shaker cows, oven mitts of chicks and sows, creatures great and small, we love them all. Next day, time for a family trip to see the animals in jail. Prisoners all the way from Africa, Alaska, and the Conga Trail. Elephants in pink tutus till they're used as research tools. Creatures great and small, we love them all. Lullabies and Bible songs say they are weak, we are strong. As we sing the golden rule, don't do what you don't want done to you. Lunchtime, it's bologna sandwiches in the lunchbox picturing babe. Hop in, we'll take a carriage horse ride, though it's 90 in the shade. We'll kill two birds with one stone, put our ducks all in a row. Creatures great and small, we love them. Lullabies and Bible songs say they are weak, we are are strong as we sing the golden rule. Don't do what you don't want done to you. Dress the kids in pajamas with the little lambs painted blue and white. Tuck them in with a nursery rhyme of cows that jump the moon at night. Monkey see is monkey do, the lambs that follow us to school. Dumb as dogs and big baboons, but the chickens coming home to roost. A living world of fur cartoons to eat or own or wear or use. Creatures great and small, we love them all.
This is vegan musician Ellie Sarti, located here in Central Massachusetts. This is her song, Creatures Great and Small, and then we'll go out with her beautiful song, Everything Comes Around. Thank you very much for tuning into Vegan Nation, and much thanks to my guest, vegan author Jim Mason. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a lovely, peaceful, joyous day.